correctly with the correct amount.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role. www.d20radio.com.
Game on.
Gamer Nation, nobody's dead. That's right, we're back. We're a little late, but everybody's feeling better. Welcome to episode 22 of Game On. I am your host, Brian, sometimes known as Fiddleback in the forums. And with me today, as always, is my favorite partner in crime, the man who has more mayonnaise in his insides than there is in a Jack in the Box Super Burger, Andy.
Does that mean I'm squishy?
How you doing, Andy?
Well, I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm doing better than I was last week.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. We're a little behind schedule, kind of.
Yeah, a little behind. Yeah.
Yeah, we're missing like a whole cast that should have gone out last week.
Yeah, we're, you know, a few days in the rears here.
Yeah, and after making fun of everybody else in the last cast for not putting one out, we go and drop
the
ball.
Yeah, now we're all caught back up with everybody, so.
We look like schmucks.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Andy, the big question of the day.
Yes?
What the heck are we talking about?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
Oh, okay.
Our first session.
Yes. We're like part three of a three-part series
of our Star Wars Saga Edition campaign.
Some dice hit the table this last week.
They did indeed. There were many a skill check rolled for.
Excellent. We like skill checks.
Yes.
They make playing fun.
Upkeep phase.
Well, we've missed so much in the last 2 weeks, we could do a whole hour-long cast just catching everybody up with what's gone on around the network. Instead, we will focus on three of the recent releases across the D20 Radio Network. The first will be the Order 66 podcast, which went out yesterday, featuring a lengthy question-and-answer session with Star Wars Saga Edition designer Rodney Thompson, mostly focused on the Jedi Academy training manual, which just came out recently. Lots of good questions, lots of good stuff right there. So if you have the need for feed, check out Order 66. Also up this last week is a fresh, lively episode of the Holocron, the podcast devoted to all your Star Wars The Old Republic needs. And this week we kind of, well, Dave and I, we were a little off our game, I guess. But, you know, we managed to yank one out. Or, oh, wait a minute, that sounds wrong. Oh, no. Anyway, we talked about all the latest updates and whatnot on SWTOR.
Oh, and the toboggan bursts into flames.
Yes, toboggan, flames, it's all good.
You're supposed to let the varnish dry before you go smoking.
Yeah. Anyway, check it out. And there's a rumor going around that there will be another brief release of the Holocron tonight sometime after this show completes. Just a rumor. Don't hold me to it. Also out this, well, not out this week, but announced this week, is a brand new podcast coming to the D20 Radio Network. And that would be Sector 7, with your host Agent Vincent and crew. They will be discussing all things D20 Modern.
Excellent.
Yeah. So if you have a hankering for some bazookas... This just gets worse the longer I do it.
Yeah,
have,
it does.
You have a hankering for some bazookas, or you want to, you know, get yourself going with, you know, some crime bosses and all the things that are related to D20 Modern, then please, as soon as Sector 7 comes out, check it out and give it a listen. That's really what we've got for you this time around in our upkeep phase. Nothing terribly exciting there. Well, I lie. Lots of excitement there. It'll all be good. I swear. Upon my sainted mother's grave. Oh, wait a minute. She's still alive.
Bits and pieces.
Well, as some of you may or may not remember, back in November of 2008, Liga posted a news item about a forthcoming title from Fantasy Flight Games. One that would make use of its license of Warhammer from Games Workshop. That title has now been officially announced by Fantasy Flight Games, and here's the publisher's description of the game, now titled Chaos in the Old World. In the Warhammer world, four gods of chaos battle for supremacy. Khorne, the Blood God, Nurgle, the Plague Lord, Tzeentch, the Changer of Ways, and Slaanesh, the Lord of Temptations. In the Chaos in the Old World board game, 2 to 4 players take on the roles of the malevolent Lords of Chaos. Excellent. Each god's distinctive powers and legion of followers give the controlling player unique strengths and heretical abilities with which to corrupt and enslave the old world. It's all about corruption. As the powers of chaos seek domination by corruption and conquest, they must vie not only against each other, but also against the desperate denizens of the old world, who fight to banish the gods back to the maelstrom of the realm of chaos for now. Chaos in the Old World is scheduled for a Q3 2009 release and will retail for $60.
Sweet. We like chaos, because that's the way we operate. In fact, we have so much chaos that the chat room has had to point out to me, and hello, chat room, by the way, we are live in our own little chat room. The chat room has had to point out to me that it is, in fact, Department 7, not Sector 7.
Oh, not Sector 7, no. Department 7.
I am an idiot, and will be falling on my penknife later.
I have no clue as to what's going on here, folks. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Please don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. He's probably not properly dressed. And since this is such an on the fly show, news has just reached my ear. So I'm gonna do this all over again. Here we go. You ready? One more time.
Bits and pieces.
Okay, so backing up to stick this back where it belongs, ha ha ha, it's just reached my pearly little ears that we, Game On, will have our own WordPress blog.
Oh.
Much like the Holocrons blog, we will have our own. And
wow.
You may fear us as you see fit.
We are taking over to world.
That's right. One website at a time. 4chan can keep its own little thing. I don't want 4chan. Yeah, we don't need that. No. Okay. So back to the actual. That's weird. Why did I go through that? Never mind. Shut up.
I'm
all strange today. I don't know what's going on. Okay. I have to warm up my German here for you. Because nominees for the 2009 Spiel des Jahres, Germany's Game of the Year Award, and Kinderspiel des Jahres have been announced by the respective juries for those awards. The nominees for Spiel des Jahres, with their designers and German publishers listed, are Dominion by Donald Vaccarino, Hans im Glück Publishing, otherwise known as Man Riding Pig. Fauna by Friedemann Fries, which I hadn't heard of until now.
I hadn't seen that one either.
Must be brand shiny new. Published by Hook and Friends. Finca by Ralph Zerlind and Wolfgang Sentker by Man Riding Pig, Hans im Glück. Fitz by Rainer Knizia, Ravensburger. Pandemic by Matt Leacock, Pegasus Spiel. So, unless Rainer Knizia takes home his second consecutive Spiel des Jahres, having won in 2008 for Celtis, some designer, or designers, will be hoisting the big red popple for the first time when the winners are announced on June 29th. In a sign of how far the U.S. game industry has advanced in recent years, two of this year's nominees, Dominion and Pandemic, were developed by, respectively, Rio Grande Games and Z-Man Games, then published by German partners. The Spiel des Jahres jury sometimes issues special awards to games that fit into particular categories, and two such games received awards in 2009. Space Alert by Vlada Chivital, Czech Games Edition, in the category of New Game Worlds, and Gift Trap by Nick Kellett, Heidelberger Spielverlag, for Party Games. The nominees for the Kinderspiel Germans wearing out, which basically is kids' games, again with their designers and German publishers listed, are Curly Cooler by Marco Tubner from Selecta, Das Magische Labyrinth by Dirk Baumann, Dre Magier Spiel, Land in Sicht by Stefan Dora from Ravensburger, and Nicht Zu Fassen by Frederick Moyerson from Zockspiel, and Zuwabu by Carlo A. Rossi from Selecta. And the winners will be officially announced later on this year, just prior to the Essen Game Fair, which is where all this nice stuff happens. That would be Essen, Germany.
Yes. Yeah. I'm pleased to see Pandemic on there.
I am too, yeah. Pandemic is an excellent game.
That's a good game, yeah. I'm hoping that one gets an award. That'll be neat.
Yeah, that will be fun. Essen is in Germany. It's a yearly convention that neither Andy or I will be going to either. Oh, well, what do I know? Not going to Gen Con, not going to, you know, E3, not going to Essen, not going to, what's the other one I'm thinking of? Gamma. Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I got to go to 7-Eleven this afternoon. That was about it.
Yeah, and they didn't have any games there.
No, they didn't.
Yeah,
I had to settle for some iced tea.
Damn.
An update from our friends over at Robot Viking. An update on the Death Race project. Ed posted the other day that he's working on Project Death Race at this very moment. The alpha rules will be posted next week. I tell you that as an absolute 100% guarantee. He does, not me. Get out those Matchbox cars you collected and modded, because a week from now you'll be doing 80 in a heavily modified armored SUV with machine guns blazing.
Awesome!
Hoo-yah!
Hoo-yah! Okay, well, if you want to know more about these wonderful, charming, exciting, and death-defying stories... You can check them out at www.gamingreport.com, www.boardgamenews.com, and www.robotviking.com. Now, on with the show. Okay, so in part three of our ongoing three-part series, or whatever this is, of our Star Wars Saga Edition campaign, we're going to talk about the actual session we got to run this last week. And after all the planning, which you can hear in our previous two episodes, we finally got characters done. We've got dice on the table, and things happened. So with me and Andy, or Andy and I, if there are those of you who prefer proper grammar, is Jake, our compatriot in crime. Hi, Jake.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going pretty good. And how are you doing this fine day?
Oh, I'm doing fantastically.
Excellent.
Fantastically?
Yeah, it's fantastical how fantastically I'm doing.
Fantasticles. Anyway, okay, so we sat down at our table Thursday night and kind of got things rolling a little bit. Does anybody want to kind of give an overview of what happened or didn't happen or should have happened?
Well, I showed up and we talked about a lot of things that I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sat down and played some things that I didn't understand. And then I left not understanding a lot of stuff.
So would you say that there was an understanding gap there somewhere?
Yeah, it could be understood that way, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Andy, how about your shot at it? You want to try?
What were you talking about? Oh.
Don't make me fire you already.
Damn it, Jim. It took a little bit to get rolling, getting Jake situated with his character and whatnot, and we almost got into combat or into a somewhat of a combat situation, but we did our noble type things.
All right. So basically, what I had to do was lay down some background to give them the setting and sort of the overriding history of the campaign so far. And I'm going to guess neither of you actually remember most of that.
Most of, if not all of it.
which just tells me I blew about 40 minutes worth of time doing something that nobody was going to pay any attention to anyway.
Well, I paid attention to some of it.
it was interesting at the time, you know, and I could see how many times I could nod appropriately before you caught on that I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah. All right. So as has been stated previously, we're set in the Knights of the Old Republic time frame, and we're about about 300 years after the events of Knights of the Old Republic 2. Which puts us right smack dab in the middle of the starting time frame for Star Wars The Old Republic MMO. Convenient how that worked out, is it not?
Excellent it is.
Yes. And you two are playing nobles, and as part of that, I helped you set up your background so that you understand what your role in the Senate is going to be, which is almost no role at all, because you're far too plebeian to be entrusted with important matters yet. However, you were given a mission, and that mission was?
To go retrieve the remains of a Jedi Master that had been killed on an Outer Rim planet, and to bring his remains back to Coruscant.
Hopefully in one piece.
And the reason there were remains to be gathered was because the Mandalorians, such as was left of them, have been conducting various little skirmishes and whatnot on some of the less well-defended and less aligned planets in the Outer Rim. And so let's talk about how we got there first.
Okay. Yeah. In a bucket of bolts flown by someone who knew about as much as I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got there literally on a shoestring and a prayer, I think.
Yeah. So your first NPC was your pilot, the first one you met.
Yeah, that would be Scratch.
That would be Scratch. And why is he called Scratch?
Because he can't take a ship out without bringing one back that has been scratched.
Okay. So what do we think of him? What's he like?
Bit of a scatterbrain, very much an odd character, out of sync with most everything that's going on around him.
He was a great down-home yokel.
I don't know if he can bullseye Womp Rats, but his droid seems to have gotten us where we were going. I think the droid knows more than he does.
Ah, the droid. That would be T3A1, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah. Very early in the production line. with that A1 designation.
Yes, yes. Very, very early.
But still fully capable of doing what the captain could not, so.
So tell Gamer Nation a little bit about the combined personalities of these two individuals, your pilot and your droid.
Well, it was a very, with the combined personalities, basically you have a scatterbrained captain that can't do anything without scratching his head for a while, and then you've got his little droid that keeps everything else together. I mean, in reality, we got there by the grace of droid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think the droid has a mesh tape dispenser that is probably on empty all the time because he's running around patching this thing back together.
Yeah.
And, taking care of, boxes of spare knobs and things.
Yeah.
Little blinking lights and sirens. Yeah.
There was a point where he went to adjust something and the knob came off of the control. And rather than replacing the knob, he just threw it in the shoebox with the other knobs that have come off of other controls. If that tells you anything.
Yeah, it was definitely hectic.
Okay. So, I'm going to back up a little bit, and you guys, tell me about the ship. What was your impression of the ship, and what did it seem like to you?
The chubby bitch?
Yes.
Wasn't that what we came up with?
Actually, it's the tubby bitch,
The tubby, yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's a reference that people that have listened to our cast before will pick up on, but yeah.
Yep. It's officially named the tubby bitch.
The tubby bitch, yeah. Yeah, it's literally held together with baling wire and duct tape type of thing. Different bits and pieces cobbled together to keep this thing flying.
Well, and Brian tried to have us take solace in the fact that at least it has big guns, but then when you get on, it's painfully obvious that those guns may or may not work.
It's got them as to whether they do us any good, I don't know.
Yeah, about as useful as the guns on Serenity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just about. I would say, yeah. At least as effective, anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So not a confidence-inspiring ship?
No, more of a bowel-shuddering, oh dear God, we're going to die inspiration type of thing. Yeah.
Well, as far as my character's first impression, I think I rolled like a 4, about how I was going to view the ship. So I think he just thinks it's a ship, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to just look at Andy's character's concerned, worried face and make my assumptions off of that.
Yeah, my character is quite certain that his dad is trying to kill him at this point because he's assigned him to fly on this thing.
Your guy's got real big daddy issues.
He does. He does, yes.
Mm-hmm. And well, see, that's an interesting thing because basically, Andy, your character's father just said, you know what? Go out there, do this really simple mission, and don't screw it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's where Jake's character, he's actually trying to become ingrained in the Senate and work towards bringing peace about the galaxy and helping out all the different races that are ingrained in the war. And my character is pretty much just, he's here because he has to be here. He has no choice because he's gotten into so much trouble, and Dad is pretty much reined him in and said, you will do this and you will stay out of trouble and this is the way it's going to be. So, I'm kind of along for the ride and being a showpiece because that's what I was told to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereas I'm trying to make my way higher up and prove myself to my race and my, senators and all that. So.
Right.
Okay, so, all right, you get on board the ship, you meet the pilot, such as he is, you encounter the droid, such as he is, and you're swiftly greeted by your two fellow compatriots there, your escort, shall we put it? Shall we call it?
Yeah.
Your escort.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some words for you. What were those words?
Yeah, they weren't very encouraging words. It was more of get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on type of thing, Mm-hmm. Commander Sebbins, I believe was her name, was... Yep. Quite adamant about the fact that she was in charge of this mission and, we would do as told and get things done and head back home.
Yeah, we weren't necessarily welcomed with open arms as the representatives of the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. There seems to be some aggression towards you, senatorial representatives?
Yeah.
At least some pent-up frustration.
Uh-huh. And then there's Lieutenant, what was it, Lieutenant Drax?
Draz, yeah.
Yeah, Draz, there you go. Lieutenant Draz, I can't remember the name of my own NPCs, that's great. Lieutenant Draz, who's, I don't know, could be more personable, I suppose?
Definitely more personable on a, I guess a down-to-earth soldier type of character. He's not nearly as uptight as the commander is, but he's, I guess you would call him an old salt as far as military terms. He's probably fed up and burnt out with the military, but that's all he knows, so that's what he does.
Well, and of the two military personnel on board, he's definitely the most, yeah, personable of the two, and less confrontational.
Right.
Okay. So you got settled in on the ship, and things went well. I suppose they went well.
we made it from point A to point B, so I mean, that was...
Yeah, we definitely went. That's, you know.
It seemed to be very little complication in actually getting there once things got off the ground.
Yeah.
Although I do recall some difficulty with the engines.
The engines, the weapons systems, the pilot, you know, sleeping through half the trip. And
right, right. At one point, which was it? Was it you, Andy? You walked into the...
Yeah, I wandered up into the control center and found the pilot, you know, for lack of a better term, passed out of the console.
Yeah.
With the robot bumping into him, trying to wake him up.
Okay. So, all right, you arrive at your destination. Going to get the name wrong again. I think it's Audrin.
Audrin, yes.
Audrin, yeah, Audrin.
Audrin.
There you go. Which is a you know, an out of the way little planet in the outer rim, and you know, mostly tribal, not a whole lot of centralized stuff. And what did you discover when you got there?
To say that this was out in BFE would be an understatement. It's a very underdeveloped planet, a very, like you said, a very tribal type of establishment. And when we got there, the Jedi remains that we were supposed to pick up had literally been, you know, entombed in a meat locker. That was the amount of establishment that they had there. So
right.
Right, it wasn't for out of disrespect, it was just out of necessity.
Yeah, it was just out of necessity, right.
Yeah, that's all they had. It was basically a butcher shop to with a cold case in the back that they could store the body in for a while.
Special this week, Jedi cold cuts.
Oh my gosh.
Would you like a little Jedi on your sandwich there?
Rack of Obi.
Yeah. So okay, you get there, and we're actually heading towards the end of the session at this point, because Jake had this deadline he had to be home by, or he would be flayed alive.
Flayed a wife.
Yeah, flayed a wife.
Yeah, the dreaded wife aggro.
Yeah.
So all right, you get there, and at this point, perception checks start rolling pretty freely as you guys are trying to figure out what's going on and what you can notice and that kind of stuff. And Jake, your Ithorian discovered something. What was that?
That there was something interesting about the blaster wound on the Jedi's chest. Have we gotten into that yet, how he was mortally wounded?
Not exactly, but feel free. Go ahead.
Okay, so we've got a Jedi with a blaster wound on his chest, a Jedi Master, nonetheless, and I'm able, through my wonderful perception rolls, to decipher that something has been tampered with, I guess, with the wound. Whether or not it was before or after or during the wound, we don't know yet.
Right.
And once we tried to give it a little bit better look and investigate a little further, we were quickly told to leave.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, and that's about where it stood.
And it wasn't like the villagers told you to leave.
No. This was the military escorts on board. The commander and the lieutenant.
Right. Yeah, it was made very clear that this was going to be a very strict military procession, very to the letter, slow march back to the ship and whatnot. But we were, you know, we were told, okay, we're going, we're leaving, we needed to get this done, let's get out of here. It seemed very rushed. nobody seemed to ask any questions other than the two of us, and of course that raised a bunch of eyebrows. I would have thought that the military entourage might have asked a few questions, and it seemed all very hush hush, so that made it interesting.
Well, and it seemed like you were just saying that it was very like somber on the way back. Like we were allowed to kind of poke around when there were people around, but as soon as we got the Jedi behind closed doors, it went from being a somber, you know, occasion to being you need to leave and you need to leave right now.
Yeah, like, we got back on board the ship and they were like, okay, this is now military jurisdiction. You guys need to go back to your cabins and, you know, we'll take care of things. You know, we weren't given a chance to look at the body any further or do anything else, which I had hoped to do since, you know, we were out of the eyes of the inhabitants of the planet, so we could look at things a little closer, and they shut us down very quickly. So,
yeah, because your mere little suggestion that the Jedi had somehow been tampered with caused an extreme bout of nervousness among the villagers.
Yes, yeah, and that was interesting in the fact that because we were doing perception checks to see if anybody that we were talking to was, you know, not being quite honest with us or anything like that, and they all came across as being above board, so that made it interesting too.
Well, but we never asked we never did perception checks for the military, though. We only did it for the people that were in the village.
Right, and that's something I hadn't thought about until afterwards.
And that's,
which, you know, we probably should have pursued, but, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And my friend, my good buddy Dylan, he came with us to kind of watch the session and just kind of hang out, and he had brought to my attention a couple of good questions that I didn't ask that I wish I had, and hopefully we'll get a chance to.
Cool. So, all right, you get the body loaded on board the Tubby Bitch. God, I love that name. Love that name. You get the body loaded on board, and then what happens? The military escort says basically buzz off, and some time passes, and then what? As you leave,
we get ready to leave the planet. I think we got into low orbit, and then Scratch came over the intercom and notified everybody that there were incoming craft to our position, and that turned out to be interceptors.
Yes. Some interceptors.
Yes.
Headed your way. And so, okay, obviously you guys ran straight to the guns and began firing at them, right?
Not quite.
I put on my pacifist jumpsuit and we ran right down there.
Yeah.
Protect my morals. Was that full-on gamer that said that before?
I believe so, actually, yes.
Jerk.
Posted in the escape pod. CSI Odrin.
All right, so yes, you basically the session is now wrapping up rather rapidly at this point. And so what happens is, yes, the announcement comes over the intercom that there are some interceptors inbound. From your cabins, you can hear your military escort heading up the hallway towards the cockpit. And then there's the distinctive sound of blaster fire aimed at the ship.
Yes, and that's when we had to pull the plug so Jake could take care of his stuff, and we are left in limbo until our next session. So,
many apologies. Forgiveness, please.
All right, so yeah, that's the sort of the capsule version of our first session. So now I'm going to ask you both for your impressions so far. And if anybody does John Wayne, I'm going to smack Andy.
Oh, dear. Good, bad, I'm the guy with the gun. I enjoyed it. It's nice to be playing anything again, but especially Star Wars, and I'm particularly a fan of the Old Republic timeline because of the differences in it. It's interesting because primarily because of my class of playing a noble, something that's completely out of character for for something for me to play. So it's interesting to look at how they interact differently with the world around them.
Yeah, for me it's definitely different because it's not your typical, you know, hack and slash. When we played Deadlands, you know, you run around and shoot, or when we played D&D, you run around and hack up little things and here and there that should die but don't. And
yeah, get beaten unmercifully by miniature kobolds that apparently have, you know, strength 20.
Right. Well, it's a lot different from that. It's a lot more, I have to think about what I'm doing and not knowing, I mean, really, honestly, anything about Star Wars going into the campaign, I really have to think about what I want to do and, you know, what I'm going to say and this and that. And it's forcing me to, like, kind of broaden my horizons and sort of think outside the box, as it were, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that's neat for me, especially playing this type of character, is because it is so far outside the box of what I'm used to playing or, you know, what most of the characters a lot of people play. I mean, you hear about people that play, you know, the paladin or the, you know, the healers and stuff like that, and it just doesn't sound that exciting as being the fighter or being the guy out in front and, you know, leading all the charges and stuff. But the way Brian's throwing the spin on this campaign, I think it's going to be really neat because it's so different from what we're used to.
Yeah, and did you notice, Andy, and I mean, I maybe I was the only one, but that we didn't actually get screwed by Brian yet?
Yet. There's a huge yet there because, you know, we're going into a combat situation. So, I mean, you know, there's plenty of opportunity for us to, you know, just burn up in the atmosphere. So,
but he usually gets that out of the way right away, it seemed like, before, anyway.
Yeah, I think he's holding out on us to give us a false sense of you know, we're okay for the moment, and he'll drop the hammer on us. So. Right.
Are you suggesting I might change up my pattern just to keep you off footed?
Oh, I fully believe that. You crafty devil, you!
I went home thinking, man, Brian really likes us. He might just be trying to be nice. No. He hasn't decided exactly which gigantic, catastrophic, mind blowing thing that he's going to do to piss everybody off yet.
Exactly.
Rancors in space.
The ship comes up and it's Reavers, you bastards.
Good idea. Yeah. So, all right, and this is an interesting point because Andy's going to have a better view on this than you are, Jake. Okay. But as far as having the feel of a Star Wars game, do you think we have that, or are we still missing something?
I think at the moment it's there. I mean, obviously, going out to pick up the remains of a Jedi master, obviously, you know, solidifies things as far as being Star Wars. But I think all of the involvement that we'll have with the Galactic Senate and the missions that we'll be running will tie into Star Wars. I don't think it will be as obvious or prevalent as, say, something, you know, in like the Episode 4 type of storyline. But it's still very much ingrained in the story, I think, the way you're telling it. So, yeah, I think it's there, but I think it's any campaign that you play in is, you know, it is what you make of it. So, yeah, it's definitely, for me, it's Star Wars anyways.
Well, I'm going to have to learn it a little better just as far as the story is because, I mean, up to this point, it's been Star Wars, bad guys, swords, good guys, swords, cut things, slash, you know. And so now I'm actually having to learn, like, storylines and, like, this and that. So, I mean, I know it's a Star Wars game, therefore it feels like a Star Wars game. But, I mean, it'll take me a bit to get used to all the terminology and all the different, you know, backstories and histories and all that kind of stuff before I really get engrossed to the point where I feel like, yes, I'm playing a Star Wars game.
Yeah, and my only downfall at this point as far as history and background is I still haven't had a chance to play KOTOR 2, which is the timeline that preceded where we're at the moment. So, but as far as a lot of things that have happened, like in the first KOTOR game and events that have led up to it, I've still got that stuff running around in my brain in the back of things. So that keeps me kind of apprised a little bit better. But yeah, I can understand where Jake could be feeling a little left out on storyline. So.
Well, and I'm going to catch myself up because, I mean, since I've started this, Brian suggested that I play KOTOR at least two, if not one and two. And since then, everyone I've talked to that's played it, Star Wars fan or not, has told me that KOTOR is just a really great, great game. So.
Yeah, it is. And even if you don't liken it to anything to do with Star Wars, it's still a good game. It's played out well. The story is pretty good, and there's a lot of depth to it. So, yeah, it's definitely a game worth looking at.
Yeah, so we'll check that out.
All right, so I always kind of like to get inside my players' heads a little bit, you know, and mess around with things and pull switches.
Rework some wires.
Yeah.
There's a red wire hanging from the overhead. What do you do?
Get the droid.
I'm not stupid. I get the droid.
Where do you think this is headed? Just, you know, off the top of your head from this first session, what do you expect to see happening, that kind of stuff?
I expect this to bloom like a man-eating flower on crack. yeah, I can just tell that there's a deep-seated background that's going to come forward in this. We'll, you know, hopefully find out what happened to this Jedi and his entourage, and find out what happened to the Mandalorians that were on that planet, and how the planetary self-defense force managed to repel them, but a Jedi Master couldn't. You know, that was a question in the back of my mind. And so I think this will progress rapidly, and it will seem like a roller coaster ride at some point, I'm sure. At least that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I definitely hope that it's going to progress, like you said, rapidly, and we can kind of figure out some of these questions that we all have. And I think as far as the imminent, you know, attack or whatever's going to happen next session, I think we're going to end up having to rely a lot on our noble skills and talk our way out of something that's probably going to be pretty serious.
Interesting. Who do you think's attacking you?
Brian.
Besides
yep,
me.
It's always the GM.
Is
that all you need to know?
My first thought is Mandalorians, but I'm still have it in the back of my head that it might be some of the Fjorans for some reason. Just you know, that's just an off the cuff guess.
And I couldn't even possibly make an educated guess without sounding silly, so.
Okay. Excellent. So, looking forward to the next one, I assume?
Yeah, it's going to be great. I'm having a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you for discussing this with me and sharing it with Gamer Nation.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And I'm sure there will be bated breath all the way around.
So bated.
Join us now as we enter a world that many think doesn't exist. A world of strange sights, strange sounds, and pleasant scents. Come with us to That's What She Said.
Salut, c'est Kat. Un de mes jeux préférés est Carcassonne. Il est trompeusement simple. Prenez une tuile et mettez-la vers le bas. Mais il y a beaucoup de stratégies impliquées. Vous devez placer vos meubles pour les points maximum. Mais soyez réaliste au sujet de ce que vous pouvez accomplir. L'équilibre de maintien est principal. Vous devez s'assurer que vous avez les meubles disponibles pour tirer profit des occasions qui se présentent. C'est très amusant. Et si vous ne parlez pas français, tout que vous devez savoir est Carcassonne Rocks.
Well, there you go, Gamer Nation. You heard it here. Yeah, may not have understood.
I don't know what we heard, but she makes it sound good.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, what just happened? I blacked out there for a minute and just woke up.
I have that problem. Whenever she talks, my left eye starts to twitch, and my vision kind of grays out, and I go to a little fantasy land. So.
Once again, thank you, Cat.
On the table.
Well, what was the Star Wars game going on this week? Andy and I really didn't get much played in particular board game wise, but I gotta tell you, I had fun this week anyway. Jake was with me when I made this little purchase. I picked up Mass Effect, the video game, the other day, and I'm suitably impressed. I don't know about you guys, but this game's pretty good. It's from BioWare, and you know they're the same people who did KOTOR and various other games like Neverwinter Nights and et cetera, et cetera. And basically, I wanted to see what they'd been up to lately, what kind of games they were putting out, and what kind of quality they had. And wow, this was good.
Yeah, I started it this week too, and I really like it. But I wasn't as impressed. I think as you were. I think you were like a little kid, man. I mean, it was like, I mean, if he was jumping up and down, running around. I mean, that was how I perceived it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were noticeably impressed. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen you that impressed with especially a video game before.
Yeah, no, this thing is really good, and the further I get into it, the better it gets. First off, it has absolutely amazing graphics. So that answers the question, how are the graphics? But yeah, it's great. It's as I mentioned on a couple other locations, this is the first game I've played, and it may not be the only one, but it's the first one I've played that actually has what can be referred to as cinematography. In other words, shots that are actually composed as if you were watching a movie or a TV show or something of that nature. To the point where even the character that's the focus of the conversation is nice and sharp and clear, and characters that are peripheral to the conversation are kind of, you know, out of focus so that you can tell who's important and who's not. And just camera work and camera moves all the way around. I was noticing that on some of your space travel and whatnot, that they use camera work that's very similar to what they use in like Firefly. So you haven't got the big whooshes and zooms and that kind of stuff, but you've got kind of the silence of space, and then you've got the hunting around for your object that should be in frame. You know how they kind of did that in Firefly. Mm-hmm. So like the camera operator's never quite sure where he should be looking, but he's always kind of in the general area of finding it and whatnot. So I was impressed in that aspect. The voice work is excellent. It's they actually got actors who can act. And I'll even include Seth Green in that. He can actually act. he plays your pilot, so you get to interact with him fairly often. There's a variety of others as well. Marina Sirtis from Star Trek The Next Generation. Counselor Chesticle. isn't it? And I've already killed her, so I won't be hearing any more from her. I don't think.
What'd you do?
But, yeah, there's a lot. And the storyline is pretty darn interesting. Essentially, you're playing a human, and you're already part of this sort of galactic, let's use the word alliance. And the problem is, though, that as a human, you're very much not as well respected as some of the other races that have been out in the galaxy longer. And so one of the things you're doing is you're trying to prove that humanity is worthy of helping to run this galactic alliance. And as part of that, you interact with other species and do little odd jobs here and there. The main storyline, though, is trying to figure out what is going on in the game and trying to preserve this alliance as it comes under threat from a fairly major force. So there's your story, and that's all I'm going to tell you because I don't want to give away any spoilers. I mean, the game's been out for like a year or so now, but I still don't want to give away any spoilers.
Well, hopefully people will be running by the masses to go pick up their copy. So
yes, immediately, if not sooner. Thank you. Right. game mechanics are very nice. Instead of like the sort of D20 system that KOTOR had, this is kind of a pip system, like World of Darkness kind of thing. You put pips in your skills, and as you level up, you get more pips to put in your skills and whatnot, and then the further along you go in a skill, more skills open up to you, and, you know, depending on story elements you complete, you get some extra stuff that way as well. I think where the game really shines, though, is its combat. This is not you shoot, he shoots combat. This is like real-time combat, with the exception of some of your special abilities and whatnot that you earn from your skills, which you can actually pause the game, load up whatever special abilities you want to trigger off, and then unpause it, and it'll fire those off in sequence, all while you're still shooting and all kinds of other stuff. It makes extensive use of cover, and in fact, the more cover you use, the better you're going to do in the game, because you won't die nearly as often.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed about it when I had played it when it first came out, was an interesting sort of combat for a role playing type of game. It was very an in your face type of experience, which is very different from what most games do combat as.
And more than once I've stepped around the wrong corner and just been felled by quantities of blaster fire that no person in their right mind would actually want to step in front of.
Yeah, it can be a little relentless.
Yeah.
Or ruthless, I think was ruthless. The word I was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty amazing game actually, and I was also able to detect hints of elements of Star Wars in various portions of the game. Some of the story stuff, some of the aliens you interact with seem strangely familiar. They don't look the same, but they kind of have the same sort of feel to them as some of the alien races that you might encounter in Star Wars. And my initial thought was that this was really a game that could have been a test bed for a third installment of Knights of the Old Republic, were it not going to be an MMO next.
Yeah.
So, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the game. I'm still really enjoying the game. And I plan on doing some shooting later on tonight. So, that'll be
good. Yeah, I may have to go out and pick that one up again. I played it when it first came out, and I got into it, but I didn't stay into it. So I never actually finished the game. So I may go back and play it again.
Well, and I mean, what was the damage on it, Brian? Like $20?
Yeah, it was $20.
I mean, you really can't go wrong for $20 with that game.
Yeah, that's... And the thing that's nice about some of the older games now, especially like some of the Star Wars games, I mean, I picked up a Star Wars pack of, I think it was like 5 or 6 different games for, you know, $20 or $30, so... Yeah.
And to make everything just that much more sweet, they just announced today at E3 the official announcement for Mass Effect 2. So there will be a second one coming.
Yeah, I think they've been working on that one for a while, but yeah, they've made it known that it's definitely in the pipeline.
Yeah. So yeah, if you get a chance and you're into that sort of thing and you like role playing games and you like computer games and you like role playing computer games and you like science fiction and okay. Yeah, definitely check out Mass Effect 2. I had a lot of fun with it. Jake, I assume you're having some fun with it.
I am. I'm having a lot of fun, actually. And I'm trying to play a bunch of different games right now all at once. And you could probably call it research for a little project I got going on. But I haven't had as much time to get into it as I would like. But so far, I've been really impressed. And one of the things that I was going to try and mention was when you were talking about the cinematography and all that. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. I mean, it's really hard, at least in my opinion, for games to just have their cutscenes and their dialogue scenes and their gameplay be really fluid. And I feel like they do a really good job in this one with that, to where, you know, you can go from a cutscene or from a dialogue scene right back into the gameplay, and it's almost seamless. It's really, really, really nice to watch.
Yeah, it's extremely well done, and I got nothing but kudos for BioWare on this one.
Yeah, it's really, really great. Yeah, go pick it up if you don't have it.
Yep. Well, here comes the end of the show once more. It sneaks up on us and gets its little claws into our hide and drags us down. And then we have to stop podcasting for a week. It doesn't really seem to be much of a way to avoid that. Jake wrestles with his microphone for us.
Yeah.
Everything just went kaput over here on my end for about 2 seconds. Sorry about that.
Kaput!
Kaput is not good. Yeah. So back chat, normally we kind of take, you know, listener emails and deal with that kind of stuff and, you know, give you some contact information and all that. But I want to do something different this time around because I do have Jake with us, and this was rather unexpected for us to have Jake with us. But Jake, you mentioned a project.
Yeah.
Would you like to tease a little bit of information to Gamer Nation about that?
Well, if everything goes well, you may be hearing more from me and my buddy Dylan and the realm of video games in the near future, hopefully.
Nice. That'll be fun. What are you going to concentrate on, like, one genre of video games? Or are you going to go, like, all over the place, all systems?
We're specifically going to talk about the Barbie line of video games that have come out.
Awesome!
And we're going to cover all those platforms, and then we're going to move right into the Jonas Brothers and Miley Cyrus and their franchise.
That sounds
so
sweet.
Yeah, if you like the Disney Channel and you know, you're a 14-year-old girl, this is going to be the podcast for you, for sure.
Oh, my God.
So no, we're going to be covering mostly...
Dave's daughter will be listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to be, for the most part, covering console gaming of, you know, all eras and sorts. I mean, as whatever we can get our hands on, we're going to be playing it and reviewing it and talking about it and everything from, you know, Atari to what's coming next. You know, there's not going to be a real limit to what we're going to be doing.
That's awesome. And do you have do you have the ability to speak clearly and concise? No. Do you have an expected recording date and release date and all that stuff coming?
Well, I don't really want to say it yet, because we're trying to work out all the bugs and get the computer going just right and do all the stuff that we're trying to get done. But we're gonna try and get a few casts going, and then we'll get them out as soon as we can.
Oh, come on, start up like Brian and I did. Just jump into it with both feet.
Set your
hair on fire and go.
But that's kind of what we're going to be doing, I think.
What could possibly go wrong?
How could this turn out bad?
Anyway, but yeah, so that's hopefully going to be getting off the ground here in the next, I don't know, couple weeks or so.
Cool. Well, we look forward to it.
Yeah, great.
And
thank you.
And not just because you're a, you know, reasonable acquaintance of ours.
Yeah, reason. Don't rope me in with you guys too much. I don't want people to think we hang out or anything.
Yeah, okay. I'll try to distance myself from you a little bit.
Yeah, that was a little close. You thought you were going to give me a hug there.
Yeah,
so.
No. No. Not at all. So, Gamer Nation, this is going to wrap it up for us. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so by emailing us at gameon@d20radio.com. Or if you're more chatty and have longer postings to make, you can get into our forums by going to www.d20radio.com/forums. And you'll find all sorts of forums there for both us and all our fellow shows on the D20 Radio Network. And soon, perhaps even for Jake's show, whatever it's going to be called. I'm going to guess Quarter Chewers.
Happy Time Barbie Show.
Woohoo! Yeah. So, until next time, Gamer Nation.
Game on.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. All specific names, titles, or products mentioned are copyrighted by the respective rights holders. Some sounds and music are provided courtesy of Soundsnap.com and Freesound.org. Reboot is copyright Alliance Entertainment. All original content of this podcast and its related website are intellectual property of Game On and D20 Radio. We'll be right back.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role.
www.d20radio.com.